Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Kollerbach. With me, Kevin Anderson.
What's up, man?
Now, Kevin, you were on the podcast with Spanky Miller, Spanky the Truth Miller. That was like episode in the 30s. This will be episode 60-something. Mm-hmm. I wanted you to get your full episode, because me and Spanky pretty much just talked that whole
thing. Yeah, well, I was just sitting in the back just enjoying the vibes, man.
Just soaking up the vibes, yeah.
Man. I mean, that guy radiates vibes, you know what I mean?
Spanky the Truth Miller has a certain swagger that's undeniable.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when I see, like, someone that's fit, you know, if they have, like, maybe a little soda spill on them or something. I would probably go, hey, man, look, you got a little soda.
Oh, get off, you know,
guy's fit.
And, yeah.
But if I see, like, a overweight guy and he's got, like, a soda spill, I'd be like, I won't say anything. I just think you big, fat slut.
You've had a lot of odd jobs and coming up and doing stand-up. You know, we just came from the Liquid Zoo 5 seconds ago. A less than enthusiastic crowd. Not everyone was paying attention.
That's a lot
of people were huddled in the back. That's the Liquid Zoo.
Yeah.
At 11:30 at night.
They're probably talking about something more interesting in the back, I'm sure. I'm sure they were getting down to it.
But every time I play the zoo, that's the same thing. It's like, you know.
You got to get up in the first, like, hour.
Ten.
And people will listen to you then. And then anything after that, it's just like.
It's not a show anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like when a kid at a birthday party gets a microphone off, like, the DJ for some reason, and it's like a 10-year-old is just like, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's, you might, like, as well be doing that, because nobody's listening.
Yeah, everyone's like,
it's
okay,
just
he's doing his thing. Like, give him his minute, it's fine. He wants to be a performer.
You've done odd jobs. You've worked packing vegan meals for snooty LA fucks.
I did. Snooty everywhere, Fox, actually. A lot of them...
You shipped them all over the
place? Yeah, that was the conceit of the business, was that people outside of L.A. can't access vegan food as easily as people in L.A., so it's like, they're like, you know, Arkansas and shit. It's like, I want my California box, so we would send them, you know, like, some random fucking snacks and shit, and that was the whole business, basically. It wasn't very not much California.
But in that, you developed a liking for podcasts while you were, and then all of a sudden it opened yourself to a different world.
Yeah, well, I first started listening to podcasts a lot in my last couple years of college, because I was spending a lot of time just being high in my room, not really doing much. And then you know, I started getting into, like, Nerdist and Marin and a bunch of other things. I was like, oh yeah, these people in LA, these comedians, these kind of seem like people that I want to, like, I can relate to, and I want to join them in the ranks. So that's, yeah. And so, you know, and then I had a job in San Jose where I went to college. I had a job there doing insurance data entry, basically. A lot of time where you don't need to have your brain functioning, so it was good to fill that with podcasts too.
What kind of data entry? Like, this person is injured and seeking this kind of claim.
Yeah. Like I would just go through files of accidents and find out, okay, who fucked who over and how much are they asking for. And I would, you know, enter it, and I would send them letters like, hey, you owe this much money. But I never had to talk to anyone directly. It was all
Yeah, you're just like data entry, like what body part was severed and what the cost was and who gave who a concussion.
The fucked up part was I've actually had
just
to deal
numbers,
with
dollar for dollar, broken bone for broken bone, severed.
Sometimes
finger.
Dead people.
Right.
That's the fucked up thing.
Like, you call a dead guy like, you owe some fucking money, man!
Honestly, that's not far from the truth, which is the fucked up part.
You're shaking him down.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's dead, but you gotta fuck... I mean, we still need 12 grand. Like, that's the thing. Like, this guy's Pontiac.
For reals, though?
For reals? Seriously.
Give me the fucking money.
I know that you're trying to pay for a funeral and shit, but, like, really, this Pontiac, have you seen the fender? It's fucked up.
Boo-hoo, he's dead, all right? Who's writing the checks over there?
Yeah, no, it was you know, I checked out a lot, you know, because I was on my iPod all day, so, like, just trivial shit. It just became, like, dead people became trivial shit to me, which is not a good thing to say ever.
It's just, you're just putting them into ones and zeros, man. And
pretty much, yeah.
Just telling the hyper grid who died.
Yeah, and how much that death costs the other party.
You posted this to Facebook. Unemployed equals time for passion, no money to support them. Employed, money for passion, no time, energy to pursue them. Dead equals nothing.
Yeah.
Very nihilistic.
Yeah, no, I wrote that when I'm pretty sure I was not employed at the time, and I had all this time to do comedy, but I didn't have any money.
Right.
So I was like, the way I've been thinking is, like, if you're fucking, you know, everyone has their own understanding of what it's like to be broke, obviously. And my understanding of it, my specific one, was if I consider an open mic a financial investment, that means I'm pretty broke. Like, I have to buy a PBR for $4 tonight. Like, can I swing that right now?
Right.
But I think I wrote that. I mean, I was probably depressed. It sounds like something I would write while I was depressed.
You're just a comedian, so yeah. Of course you're going to be moody.
Very redundant. Yeah, very redundant.
Toke. You posted this to Facebook. Why is it sexist for men to dislike pubic hair of women, but it's totally okay for women to trash beards? Why do you want me to shave, huh? Because of my smooth face reminds you of little boys, isn't it? Perverts! Porn has really ruined you, ladies.
Yeah.
And then what's with the double standard with the shaving of the pubes?
Obviously, it's various case to case. Not all women hate beards. I know that, but as you can see, I have one. But
nobody can see because that's a podcast.
No, I'm saying you personally.
Right, okay.
As you can imagine, out in podcast land, because you've seen beards, I'm sure.
People know what beards are. They've heard
of these things.
In underground speakeasies.
Yeah, all the hep cats got them.
You know, they're clicking their fingers by the punch bowl, and they're like, they got beards, you know? But that's when you see them in their natural environment.
Girls will get mad and be like, well, all girls in porn have shaved vaginas, and if I don't have a shaved vagina, a guy gets turned off. I think that's fucked up. Porn's ruining men for women. And that makes sense. You know, you shouldn't be scared of pubic hair.
Right.
Right? It's just hair. But at the same time, it's like, well, I get that, I guess, but it's like, I've had women be like, I don't date any guys that have beards or mustaches. Ugh. It's like, well, it's the same shit. It's just not, you know, you can't be the guy that's going to support that movement, like, because that's sexist or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why can't I have hair where I want to have hair? Well, because you've generally fucked women over for a really long time, so you don't get a say in the matter. That's what it seems like to me.
Is it oppressive, you know, to be like, hey, shave your coochie now? You know,
I feel like it should be, like, with beards, it should be case to case. Like, some guys might be turned off by it, some guys might really like bush, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, that's a personal taste thing, and I don't think you can say that that's
patriarchy. I think most times we're just so happy to be down there, we don't care.
Exactly. Oh my god, yeah. Like, that's, you know, where I, that's
if
where it, I come
if
in.
If a girl has a bush, it's like, alright, I guess I'm fucking bush tonight. It's not like, you know.
You're not a man until you've eaten out a girl with a bush, for sure.
Oh, it's great. You also posted this to Facebook. At the risk of sounding like a spoiled white kid,
sorry,
I'm fucking sick. Randos hit me up for cash every time I leave my goddamn house. I understand that the system isn't working for you, but seriously, if you're that desperate to steal someone's recycling, if you're that desperate, steal someone's recycling or suck a dick or something.
Did I say that?
There's always a way to make money. You just have to try a little harder.
Did I say that word for word?
I'm reading what you wrote.
That's crazy. That must have been a while ago. I don't know.
So you just don't like getting hit up by bums all the time for cash?
I'm sure what it was I was just in a mood where, like, I didn't have a lot of cash, and I felt really guilty because someone on the street was like, do you have a dollar? And I had to say no because I didn't have, like, a dollar.
Yeah.
Because I was probably unemployed. Yeah. And, like, it's obviously, that's not genuinely how I feel. I mean, it's horrible. Homelessness is horrible and shit. But, like, I think I just, in that moment, I was feeling really guilty that I couldn't. And I was just like, fuck, man, why you gotta make me feel like a piece of shit just because I don't have a dollar right now? Like,
yeah.
But that's me. I know that's all me. I know that's not anything. Like, I have problems in my head.
So I had, like, a degenerate night the other day. You know, like, I had a breakup a couple months ago. And so,
oh, I'm sorry.
And so I had, like, a degenerate night where, actually, right down Sepulveda right over there, you know, there's a lot of hookers on the corner. But, you know, the hookers don't really seem that great. But I went to this website I heard about called, like, rubmaps.com, and all the best, like, massage parlors that'll, like, knock one out for you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You go, thanks, ma'am. So I went, so I was like, I'm definitely going to go to one. There's one right by my street. So I get there, and they close at 7. And I've never paid for sex in my life. And I tried to get a hand job before at a different parlor, but they just, it didn't happen. I didn't say the right lingo. I didn't lay down enough cash. Yeah. I don't know how to do these things. But anyway, so I went down there, and it was closed. I was like, god damn it. And then I go down the stairs, and, like, I get hit up for cash by a really hot homeless chick. And I was, like, this close from being like, hey, you want know how you can make $40 real quick, sweetheart? But I didn't.
Are there such thing as hot homeless chicks, though?
There was that night.
But I didn't, you know what I mean? I have so much guilt about this, you know?
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Also, if you just turn a hot homeless chick into a hooker, I can't be that guy.
They're really close.
I can't be that guy that, you know, I'm not that much of a degenerate to, like, you know, bring it up.
But the thing I'm thinking is, like, when you see, like, a really attractive, and it could be guy or girl, but if you see, like, a really, like, young, like, well, like, not even badly dressed person that's like, hey, can I get some money? I'm like, you kind of seem like you could be my equal. Like, I don't think, I have no proof that you're a homeless person. And that happened, that's an L.A. thing. I think that's an L.A. thing. And
because the bums here look kind of good because they have not all of LA them. Diet.
Not all
some of
them
are eating like trash out of Whole Foods, and they have organic, you know, diets.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking
The arugula is a day old, but they're still, eating it, you know,
they're still
they're juicing it in the gutter juicer they got off a truck.
But there's definitely, like, if you're in Skid Row, you'll see someone, you're like, that guy's homeless, for sure. Yeah. Because they're, like, sleeping on the street all the time. You see, like, they're like a landmark. You're like, fuck, that's horrible. That's
like
that guy's life.
It's tents and tents on the sidewalk.
Skid Row, yeah, it's ridiculous. They have their own thing.
We have money to send drones with bombs, and we don't have money to send drones with soup around Skid Row. It says that the most sociopathic people of all time are in our government right now. There's like a financial genocide happening by what neighborhood gets cash pumped into it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's fucking weird. But yeah, and then but they like I was saying. So I guess what I was trying to say, there's those guys that you can see that are really homeless, and then there's guys that are not that at all.
Right,
they're just
like
in Hollywood, and they're just a guy on the street that looks like he could be at an open mic. You know, like
I saw that guy perform at the Liquid Zoo just now.
I think there was at least three of them.
Have you ever paid for sex or gone to a massage parlor? I still haven't. I've had two unsuccessful attempts.
You tried
now,
twice, though.
But I feel like it's almost like I'm good that fate has somehow intervened. The massage parlor closed at 7 when I went there at 9:30.
Yeah.
And also, why are you closing at 7 if you're rubbing people out? People are more desperate for that.
Who's getting rubbed out, like, early in the afternoon?
Yeah, like
it's 2:30. I'm going to go get jacked off real fast.
Yeah. Like, some business guy's, like, on his lunch break, like, gotta go. I'm going to get whacked off, and then I got to meet.
I got a lunch. I got a late lunch that I got to do. That's true. Yeah, that's weird. I mean, it's just a weird business,
7 o'clock,
right? 7 o'clock, yeah. Like, is that, like, weekday hours or week? Maybe they're open later on, like, Saturdays and shit.
I think it was a Saturday. Like,
bars?
I don't remember what day of the week it was.
You know what I mean? Oh, Jesus.
Dolphins have found a bizarre way to get high. So, one of the cleverest creatures... We had another dolphin story earlier. I forget who was the guest, but we talked about a dolphin that would fuck a fish head.
Yeah, it
like
got
they,
viral.
They put some chum in the water and in this tank where dolphins are at an aquarium. And someone filmed with their iPhone a dolphin just fucking the hell out of the head of a fish, you know?
Yeah.
So they're having sex with each other's blowholes, and now they're getting high. So this is this news story.
Let's hear it.
Some dolphins are using a puffer fish, which relieve nerve toxins that can be provoked and cause a narcotic effect, reports say in the Sunday London Times. Underwater footage shows two-part BBC One documentary series, Dolphins, Spy in the Pod, shows young dolphins milking the fish for their toxins and passing the fish to other dolphins. They're taking a hit off a puffer fish, man.
It's like a drum circle.
It makes them crazy. Yeah.
That's awesome.
They're like, everyone gets stabbed by this puffer fish or whatever.
Yeah, that just shows that, like, any creature that has that level of intelligence is going to seek. Like, because people always say dolphins are smart as fuck, and then... You know, not only do they seek weird sexual pleasure like humans do, like by fucking decapitated fish bodies, but they're also like, oh yeah, we can get high because there's drugs in nature that will make us feel different.
So they chew the puffer fish gently and pass it around, and they begin acting peculiar, hanging around the surface, fascinated by their own reflection.
That sounds familiar.
Well,
LSD.
Now, a large amount of puffer fish toxins can be deadly, just like heroin.
Oh, shit.
But low dose, you can, like, just get fucking blasted, bro.
When do you think we're going to hear the first news story about the first dolphin OD? Because it sounds like they have the possibility
like
to
fuck up. Like the dolphin guitarist.
Yeah.
Like, you're fucked up, man. You're fucked up all the time, man.
That's that gnarly blowfish, dude. You don't want to fuck with that. You should just do the mellow stuff. Like, no, dude. And then, you know, one day he's foaming at the mouth and he's dead.
He's always taking it too far, man.
Yeah, you know, he had the talent, man. He was going to go places, but, you know, he couldn't. Dude, it seems it's. I mean, they're definitely mirroring our behavior. That's pretty crazy. I think. So, I mean, granted, I am high as fuck right now, but right. I still think that's pretty cool.
If I come back, I want to come back as a dolphin. It sounds like a pretty good day. You fuck a fish head and you get high. That's a good day.
And it's just like a step down from humans, really.
Yeah,
it's not that bad. It's not a far drop. That's
you
good. Just,
as long as you're not cat. Caught in a net and put in SeaWorld as yeah. documented by Blackfish.
Oh, God. Did you watch that?
No, I can't.
It's in my Netflix queue, and I'm just looking at it like, do I want to get really bummed out today?
I can't watch it. I saw the preview, and the preview made me, like, so incredibly angry.
Yeah, people say that it makes you really upset.
Yeah, and that's why I couldn't do it.
I mean, I'm sure I'll be, at one point, I'll be in that mentality where I'm like, I want that, but I haven't been there for a while, which I think is good
yeah.
because that's a really sad thing to put yourself through.
Thief carries 250 pounds safe out of a Massachusetts eatery.
Okay. One dude?
One guy. A strong-armed thief carried yeah. a 250 pound safe out of a restaurant. Kevin Haynes. He just walked out of a stockholder's restaurant in Weymouth Sunday night, lugging out a vault. That's pretty sick.
Yeah. He's like, that was a guy with a mission.
Yeah, and like people are so like Adderalled up and stoned out these days that like a guy walks out with all the money in the restaurant and the employees don't fucking say anything. They're like,
He probably works here. He probably knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
he
looks strong. He seemed like, you know, whatever. I don't want
to. I'm sure he's just, you know, a laborer just trying to get by on a wage, you know, for lifting things. And it's like, no, he just robbed the shit out of this place.
Oh, shit. That's what that looks like when someone just walks in and takes all your shit and walks out.
We're not accustomed to seeing it in person. So I guess, I bet if I saw that and I was just like, you know, at the place just eating or whatever.
Because like, they would always keep that at like the fulcrum of the restaurant. Like, he would have to walk through the kitchen or whatever, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and they all just didn't even notice. Or they didn't notice, or he was such a good con artist that he was just like, hey, how you doing, fellas? I'm here from, you know, made up some shit.
So, Obama, you know, when he goes on, I talked in a previous episode that when Obama takes a shit in a foreign country, like, the CIA or the Secret Service, like, pack up a shit and put a date on it, because he can't flush it. Like, if he's visiting Russia and if he's visiting Putin in Russia, every time he takes a shit, like, they don't give Putin that, you know, he doesn't shit in Putin's toilets because Putin could grab that shit and then, like, diagnose a disease or whatever. So they keep all his shit, like, on lockdown so that, you know.
Literally, they keep his shit on lockdown.
Yeah. So another thing that they do is, like, Obama's dogs have to jump through all kinds of security checkpoints before they can go on vacation with him in Hawaii. So this is what they spend their money on.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least his shits aren't falling in enemy hands.
But they have to go, Bo and Sonny had to go through Hawaii's strict quarantine procedures to travel to the islands. So he's got to make sure that they're rabies free and have to jump through a lot of medical blood tests and stuff to make sure they reach regulations.
Yeah, that's really fucking weird to me, man. Just, like, the amount of effort that goes into, like, I can't even imagine that someone would have to bag up someone's shit. Like, as some, like, that's a protocol that exists.
Yeah, America has a guilty conscience when they're going around the world.
What? Now, why would that be?
I'm foreign policy issues. Of shoot first, take oil second, and then go what third?
Yeah,
that seems to be our policy.
And then go chill on the ranch for a few months.
I'm gonna go clear some brush.
No, that's fucked up, man. Like, yeah. I don't know the fact that kind of tactic might, like, even if it's never been done before, they're like, we have to make sure that we don't know if Putin wants him to die, so. If he does, on the off chance that he does, and the off chance that he does it this way, we're going to have a procedure for bagging up the president's poop.
Yeah.
And labeling it and carrying it around in, like, a fucking tote bag.
What a fucking diva.
Yeah.
I bet he's, like, a bitch about it, too. He's like, pack my shit, all right? We're got to go. Like, he's, like, an asshole about
it,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Other people have to, like, fucking
write. What about, did you get all of it? Did you get it all? Because there was a lot, man.
Yeah, I got more shit.
He's like eating gross shit on purpose to like shit that makes you poop really aggressively.
Yeah, just because he knows that a Secret Service guy's gonna stare at him shit into a ceramic bucket later.
Oh god!
And he's just like, watch this. He just thinks I'm really gross. No beer. Okay, so you know, you might find yourself in a bad relationship at one point, but you know, a 44-year-old woman angry at a man for returning home without bringing her beer on Christmas beat and stabbed her man with a ceramic squirrel.
Creative.
Charleston, South Carolina County Sheriff's Office says in a report deputies found the man covered in blood as they arrived at Helen Williams's home early Wednesday. She told investigators the man fell and cut himself on the ceramic squirrel, launching his fucking assault, I guess.
Well, he fucked up bad. Wait, so where was this in America? Was this in America?
Yeah.
In what state?
Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, okay, I didn't catch it. I needed that for the full visual of the thing, and now it makes more sense.
Now it all is coming together.
So he didn't have beer. He came home, and it was on New Year's or was on Christmas?
Christmas.
And he didn't have beer, and she stabbed him with a squirrel.
There you go.
In his esophagus, like in his throat?
I made up esophagus.
I was going to say, that would be fucking brutal, dude. That would be a kill shot.
She beat him in the head and then stabbed him in the shoulder and the chest.
Where do you get these news stories from?
You know, here and there.
I know internet.com, but I was just wondering because I like to...
The Associated Press.
Oh, okay.
The Associated Press is writing this kind of stuff.
Well, it is. I mean, it's associated with something, I guess. There's something.
That's a pretty interesting news story.
Yeah, they're like, I mean... People will find this interesting because most people don't get stabbed with ceramic squirrels.
You know, and in his defense, he said, a lot of stores were closed Christmas Eve. So, he tried. She didn't
that
get off her
totally
fucking
reasonable.
Ass to get herself beer, the crazy bitch. She's like, I'll get me sugar! Squirrel. Good lord.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they were closed, too. It was fucking Christmas Eve. Like, what kind of expectations is he being held to in that
what
household?
What a temper tantrum. What an alcoholic temper tantrum.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous, man. South Carolina.
Protesting theater director rams French palace gate. A theater director rammed his car into the rear gate of a French presidential palace on Thursday in protest over cuts in government funding to the arts. So this 67-year-old Italian national... He's a 67-year-old theater director, right? Uh-huh. That's what he does, experimental theater or whatever. And the government cut off his money. He's like, I'll show them cutting off my money to make my weird art. They fucking crashed into them.
That's again, going back to the guy with the safe, that's a man on a mission. He's like, yo, he had the passion of an artist for sure.
Yeah. It also seems like in Italy, the government kind of fears the people. In America, the people fear the government.
Oh, yeah, way more.
We know that we can get assassinated by a drone or a CIA operative, you know, at any time. And, you know, or our brakes are going to shut off in our car because we know too much or whatever.
That's why our big protests, like all these ones have been happening in, like, places that have real problems, like, you know, crazier problems. Like, our protests were so fucking passive. Like, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to stand in a park for a long time and... You know, hopefully
Occupy Wall Street. We're just gonna go down there and give them the stink eye.
Yeah, we're not gonna have any like leadership or any plan of action. Like all the other people had plans of action, and they had more people on board in a smaller area probably, and they were probably a lot more pissed off than we are because we're all like, well, there's Starbucks and there's marijuana
and there's Netflix and there's Beaten Off.
Beaten Off's pretty cool, and you know, Little Caesars.
I'm gonna ride this out.
We'll just see. You know, we'll just see. I mean, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Not that bad.
Yeah.
That's why there was no aggressive movement like that, I think.
Yeah, ever since, you know, they took out JFK, you know, it's been like...
oh, yeah.
And then the government hasn't had a protest, like, or like a press comment. Okay, so JFK got murdered. The Supreme Court ruled that it was probably a coup d'etat. No one was... They didn't also have a protest going like, okay, so we're going to take all these guys who tried to kill Kennedy. We're going to take them in the middle of a football stadium. At halftime during the Super Bowl, we're going to chop all their fucking heads off. We did it. Yeah. We got them. Yeah. No, JFK got murdered. The people who wanted to murder him got into office, LBJ. Yeah. And then, you know, this Gestapo stayed in power. The end of the story.
Yeah.
And we haven't had that moment where the fucking octopus got removed from our throats yet. And so there's still, all the fucking criminals are still there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It is, it, I feel like in a country like America where something like that kind of like, you know, Egyptian, like actually overthrowing the government to an extent thing, it's going to take longer because there's so many more people to convince, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To get the kind of numbers that would actually matter if there was actually going to be a revolt against the government in any like real sense of the word, I think we would need a lot more people to be really pissed off about shit.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be insightful and not trying to tell anyone out there to go get weapons and take up arms against the government.
Yeah.
But like, you know, here, you know, we are like, we scrape together money working shit jobs 40 hours a week so we can get gas so we can drive to an open mic.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, I'm not getting paid a high salary to direct my crazy theater anymore that nobody shows up to and pays ticket prices for, so it has to be subsidized by the government. Yeah. They shut off my money.
Yeah. I'm going to do so. That's, like, that's exactly.
You know, that guy's got such fucking balls.
Yeah, I got to give my hat to that, tip my hat to that guy for sure. That's pretty fucking right.
The actual market value of his art is unsustainable. So the government has to fucking pay for it.
Yeah.
And so he's,
what kind of art did he do? Did it say?
He just said.
Just some generic artist?
Parisian theater, the Italian.
Oh, he was a theater director. That's what it was.
Okay. Italian comedies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, theater, you wouldn't see a theater director that lost money in America doing anything like that. They'd just go back to the fucking bar and get drunk, probably. Like, well, I was a community theater director for a while, and now I'm not anymore. I gotta do something else. Like, just fucking pissed, but, like, not, yeah, you wouldn't go ram his car. I mean, I've been drinking a lot for a long time. I haven't really stopped. Like, I just kind of, and you know, and I smoke a lot of weed. I don't smoke as much weed as I used to in college. I smoke, I'm like a after 5 p.m. smoker, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I think I said that earlier. I don't like to go do, I can't, like, I admire people that can be like, I'm going to smoke a bowl and then go to the post office and do shit. Like, that's just never been me. Like, I just freak out and get really paranoid. But yeah, I've done a lot of, like, drugs. just because, I don't know, I had a lot of depression and shit. I don't know. I've just been like, I started drinking in high school a lot, and then, like, when I got to college, people were starting to binge drink for, like, the first time. I was, like, way better at it than most people, which is a terrible thing to be good at. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, I can hold my shit, and I'll be fucking, dude, I'm just rambling because I'm high, but,
No,
it's good. It's something interesting.
What drugs have you done?
Mostly marijuana. I've done mushrooms. I've done ecstasy.
I get that.
Yeah, mushrooms are fun.
Did you do Molly or did you do ecstasy?
I did both, and we were just talking about this at the bar, actually. I'd done both, and neither of them had an effect on me, so I either had bad stuff that wasn't real or just...
That's just how your brain is?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Because, I mean, I've done other things that have definitely affected me, so maybe I did it wrong. I don't
know. What else?
LSD, I did that in college a few times, which is probably my favorite thing that I did. I wouldn't do it all the time, but kind of put my brain on a different operating level where I saw things a lot clearer, I think. I'm grateful for it. Yeah,
that was so. It's like one of those rite of passage experiences.
Yeah, I mean, there's
like
a reason.
A vision quest, like a Native American.
I would say so. Yeah, I would say something that's very tribal in nature. Yeah, definitely. Like,
what did you get out of it?
Seeing outside myself a lot more, like realizing that most of everything that I've been told was important is a bunch of bullshit that we made up to sustain a country. And it's not what life's about, really. I mean, it's how you live a long time, but it's not, I don't know, just stuff like that, you know, like weird ethereal thoughts that mean something to you a lot at the time. It's when you try to put it into words, you sound like a pretentious douchebag like I am right now.
Right. Well, I think it kind of like to enhance your like emotional intelligence.
Yeah. You know, like, I think that's a good way to put it.
It gives you like, if when you come to a problem, you're narrow-minded, that means that when you come to a problem, you only have like really three modes that you can think about, or like levels of black or white, or like you can only see like black, white, and gray.
Yeah,
you know. And I think if you do like I did mushrooms, and I for sure when I get to a problem, there's way more options I have available where I can
That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant, like, when I said, like, getting outside yourself. You know? Like, you can see it from a lot more perspectives than your own personal shit.
Here's the thing also, like, you know, I go on this other podcast called the Self-Indulgent Podcast, and I talk crazy shit, and I could tell it really got this guy called Josh Nichols, who's the co-host, me and him, and it got really angry because I, like, you know, I try to roast people, I bust balls, and I take it really, I take it as far as possible to I could, just on this one show, I just kind of play this, like, insult character.
That's what a lot of people do.
I just want to put the audience at ease. Here, I want to explain something to the audience, because I feel like I come on the show and start attacking people, okay? Mm. And I want to put, and
that's
so
accurate.
I come out, like, looking like the bad guy a lot of times.
Right, right.
And I don't think people quite understand, you know, the comedy motivation of what I'm doing here. Right. So what I like to do is I like to focus laser and, like, bully someone really intensely for a short period of time so that I'm reverberating my name is reverberating in their insecurities. Mm-hmm. And then they keep bringing my name up show after show. You know, it's all about getting hits on Google these days.
Right. Keywords.
If you can subliminally get into people's heads, maybe they'll Google and see when you're playing at Flappers. So
I do like. In the collection of my bragging, one of them was clogging a toilet. I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more bragging.
Because it's this hyperbole of, oh, I clogged an industrial, you know.
That's not hyperbole because it's not hyperbole. Mm. It's fact.
Right.
It happened. I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of clogging toilets. Mm.
Yeah, but it's like, I got the biggest shit. You got delusions of grandeur about your shit. Also, the doctors at UCLA actually had one other result that I thought was really interesting. They said that your depression actually tastes exactly like Del Taco.
I realized it affected him, and it affected me that I could tell that I kind of pissed him off or whatever.
Yeah.
Earlier today, I had him on my podcast. And I could tell that, like, we had a conversation, but it was important for me to kind of bury the thing and make sure that he knew that we were, like, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, normally I would just be like, fuck it, and then hold a grudge on him.
Right.
But it's like, why would I do that?
Yeah.
And that's just, like, that's a burden that I would hold to hold a grudge against anybody,
right,
you know?
Right, it is very selfish and interesting because you want to believe that you were in the right. And no matter what, like, well, it was my decision. And that's
I said shitty things too, and he got pissed off. When people say shitty things to me, it pissed me off. So that's
totally,
it.
Yeah.
But you know, it's you also like, but I would just do that for the show because I like hearing crazy people having ridiculously weird, funny, real arguments.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's what I was going for. Yeah, but you know, it got personal.
Yeah, if you know, you get to an extent where you're like, oh, is this still a bit, or is he actually being? And especially if you don't like. I get that when I'm kind of like, if I've been like drinking a little bit, so I'm like a little, you know, being myself and loose, and I start talking to someone that doesn't know me that well,
right.
And I start doing my whole thing of like, you know, like being offensive on purpose as a joke, but some people don't get that that's your sense of humor. They think you're genuine, and so then that creates tension, and it makes people, you know, angry over things that if they actually talked it out, they'd be like, oh, okay, I didn't get that that's what you were doing. You know?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what that sounds like. But you know, trying to roasting a guy a little bit, and he's like, all right, yeah, but like at a certain point, like, are you fucking serious right now? Like, I don't know.
But I would say insults that I would really think about his personality too.
And that's where it gets tricky.
I don't know, you know. But it's like, where else am I going to get material from unless I say something that's, you know.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
It's a weird thing. But, and also, like, me also finding faults in other people and pointing them out is a very, like, sign of my upbringing. Because, you know, growing up, my parents would always, like, talk real intense shit on each other. And so, like, almost like nitpicking faults in other people. It's a very, like, Jersey shit to do.
Yeah.
Where people just shit talk each other behind each other's backs all the time.
That's a very East Coast thing.
Yeah, I was totally, like, you know, where people are, like, a bunch of, like, pit bulls that fucking tear each other down all the time. But it kind of keeps you sharp, but people have an edge to them.
Because
they always get called out on their bullshit, you know? So I like it. So it's kind of a superpower, but also really negative when you're just, like, you know, picking, carrying lists around of things that you don't like about other people.
Yeah, because that's all you're focused on.
Because you can fucking, if they ever come after you with shit, I'm going to let you know how I fucking think about you. You know,
I got bullet points. Dude.
Exactly.
I got a whole 10 minutes on this shit. Yeah, I feel you.
You're always, like, getting, like, fucking political ammunition for some reason.
It's true. It's a weird social discipline, the thing you're talking about. The guys always shitting on each other.
Yeah.
It cauterizes you and makes you behave a certain way. I definitely can feel that with, you know, just the guys I grew up with and shit, for sure.
Yeah. all the shit talking, but I think that's healthy. You know, I find LA people really don't get checked a lot of times. And some
part, oh, no.
People are like have enormous egos. And
they grow up never being told you're wrong or that you're not good at something.
Like so the rich kids from LA are really some of the worst people you'll ever meet in your life.
Yeah. There's obviously, you know, we're speaking in general terms, but they're I would all say terrible that's fair to say, but yeah, they're all the worst. No, I mean, there's going to be people that are exceptions to prove the rule, but I would say that is a fair stereotype to cast. That there's a lot, cause I see a lot of them too. I know exactly what you're talking about. And they're like the guys, like, I don't know. And it's hard for me to even say it because I kind of grew up, my dad, you know, wasn't poor. I had money. So like, it's hard for me to talk shit about people that grow up with money because I'm kind of one of them. But I'm trying to not be that person. But like, yeah, they just grow up and they're just in this world of like, they just don't even get how it works outside of like, everything comes easy all the time. Like, I'm just chilling right now. Like, of course I'm going to have money for rent. Of course I'm going to have food. Of course I'm going to be able to do whatever I want for a really long time.
Yeah.
And, that shit, I mean, that shit's where that comes from, I think. And that's a lot of LA because there's a lot of rich people in LA, you know, and if you're just born into it. And like Robin Thicke, he shouldn't be anybody, but he was born into it. So now he's doing, you know, passive aggressive songs about rape. I got a hit for you, a beat for you. Let me give it to you, baby. I got a car for you, I got a whip for you, black car for you. He just got the swagger and everything, but he's just some fucking rich kid that, you know, any kid could have written
that song.
Is
that the guy who was dancing with Miley Cyrus?
Yeah. The Beetlejuice motherfucker.
Do you have any shows coming up that you want to plug or a Twitter handle or anything like that?
Yeah, at KB Anderson Yo is my Twitter handle.
Yo?
Yeah, KB Anderson was taken, clearly, okay. Because I have a very generic white person name.
Kevin Anderson, you report to your cubicle and stamp out, you know, sad entry.
Six white dudes stand up and start hustling. Oh, no, which one? Kevin J. Anderson or Kevin B. Anderson?
Now, on this Excel spreadsheet, how much does an arm cost in an accident?
No, man.
Kevin Anderson?
I've moved up in the world. It's tech support now, dog. I actually talk to live human beings. It's crazy.
Addiction, depression. So where do you think that depression comes from? Is it from, you know, did your parents fuck up? Is that why you're a comic? What's going on?
Well, I don't think they fucked up in as much as most parents fuck up because most people have something that, you know, no one knows how to raise a kid the best way. Everyone thinks they do, but so they did the best with what they knew, and me and my brother were interesting people because of it. But I mean, you know. I think that's just how, and you know, that depression comes from that. And I mean, both my parents, I'm pretty sure, have depression. They won't just tell me it because
you think it's like a chemical thing.
I think it's definitely something in the genes that has, you know, makes you have a personality that gravitates towards that. Yeah. I feel like when you know someone who's fucked up, their parents are fucked up too, usually, like emotionally fucked up.
Right.
That's what I'm, I guess.
Do you think
saying.
That stand up scratches an itch that of something?
Yeah. Definitely.
What is that thing?
The need to feel accepted by something, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is it just more potent or something in, with comics?
Yeah. Oh, you mean that need? Because everyone wants to feel accepted. Yeah, maybe that's... yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. What do you think about it? Maybe you can bounce some ideas off me.
I think there's really nothing better socially than someone killing as a stand-up.
Yeah.
When you're killing as a stand-up, like, socially, that is mastery. You are a doctor of being social.
Yeah.
And like,
because everyone's united in that moment of happiness. Of, and
man, you're fucking killing it right now. And having that feeling of coming, you know, I did Upright Citizens Brigade in New York and stuff like that. And so when I had main stage shows and the show went great, it was like, this elation that's completely indescribable, and that seemed to like heal. You know, like everyone has scars from their childhood.
Yeah.
Even when they lost their first fucking Little League game, it's devastating. Yeah. And you have to learn, like, oh yeah, sometimes I fucking lose, and mm-hmm. I work hard, and my team loses. Mm-hmm. So this, I think that, you know, it's an important lesson. It's important for people to lose. It's important for people to, you know, to you had jokes tonight about how. You know, kids, when they lose their data in like Angry Birds or whatever, you have tech support for that.
Yeah, it's like they call in and they're like, oh, well, my kid, how am I going to tell my 6-year-old that he won't be able to complete his game in Angry Birds? He'll have to start over. It's like, that is such a manufactured problem. Like, that is nothing. Like, first of all, he has a tablet and he's six. Yeah. He's got this crazy technology.
You know, that tablet has blood diamonds in it, mined by six-year-olds in Africa. Your kid doesn't have problems, you fucking rich cunt.
Exactly. So I'm like, he still has Angry Birds, and he still has all this other crazy shit that comes on this futuristic device.
Yeah, why don't you get a drive-through Frappuccino and bug someone else with your bullshit, okay?
So yeah, that goes back to what I was saying about rich kids. It's like, you grow up just having all that shit, you know? Like, oh, yeah, and it's like that
becomes
your
problem. How am I
going
to tell my kid he lost points in Angry Birds?
I can't do that to him. Don't you understand? He's six. Like, dude,
that's your problem.
That's part of becoming a person.
You
learn these things.
You're explaining why you're a terrible parent right now is what's happening.
Yeah, you're just like, I'm sorry, I couldn't do everything for you. I couldn't do everything, but you know what? Life is like this sometimes, and it's going to be hard, and you're going to have to work through things like this.
Yeah.
Like, you grow up never hearing that shit. You're just a child forever.
And kind of money can kind of put you on this cushion of delusion where, you know, you don't know that, you know, your shit don't stink. You don't know that you're lazy. You don't when you don't have to.
Yeah,
because
no one will tell you
chores.
Yeah, because everyone wants to be your friend. No one will point out your flaws.
Yeah, when some kid has a nanny wiping his ass every day, he doesn't know his fucking ass stinks after he fucking shits. You know?
That's true.
Because
he's no shame. He's just like, wipe my asshole.
Just like Obama. Put it in the box, motherfucker.
That's the kind of hubris it takes to be president, is the ability to just shit in front of someone and have them box it up in front of you and just be like, what?
What? Box my shit?
You should be doing that. Everyone should always be cleaning up my shit after me because I'm fucking tight.
Yeah. You think then he just dips his hand in the fucking shit and piss and just flicks it? Like, what? What? Just flicking droplets of his shit. Boom.
Just to add insult to injury.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think comedy definitely, like, getting on stage and feeling, like, that acceptance from people, like oh, we're, like, these things that I thought are relatable, and other people have probably felt this too, like, that is really good for someone who grows up with depression, I think.
Like, it's almost like you kind of want to validate your feelings of going, like, everything's fucking crazy. Am I fucking right? Yeah. Am I the only one saying this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who may not even have thought of that before will sit there and be like, oh yeah, I totally feel that. Like, I didn't put it into words like that ever in my head, but that's definitely something I can relate to.
Yeah. You know, if you feel like you have, like, a deficit in the world socially or emotionally or something like this from being raised or whatever, like, doing well at stand-up kind of validates all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he learned his lesson enough to enlighten someone enough to laugh at life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because I think the best comedy does come from that place.
It should
sure.
teach people something. Yeah. It should, you know.
Yeah, self-reflection, self-analyzation.
I think, yeah, you can either, like, see a therapist or, like, you can actually, like, have, you know, friends that you can open up about.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah,
you
that helps, too. Yeah, having that social, I mean, that's why therapy is invented, because people don't have that.
Yeah, and, like, when you have friends, like, every now and then you'd be like, okay, let me just drop this on you. Like there's always something that's, like, itching you.
Yeah,
like,
and you have
from
to tell
week,
somebody. Yeah.
And you're kind of like, yeah, let me just get this out so I don't, like, you know, show up and shoot somebody in the
head.
Like, let me just, but, you know.
I don't want to be on suicide watch, so can I talk to you about something? All right, cool.
It's tough.
Yeah.
So what gets you down? Is it just the system? Is it the man?
Part of it. I mean, there's, you know, it's my own awareness of my own flaws that I see a lot. That really bums me out. Then
you
I get
spiral about your flaws.
I mean, and well, that and just knowing that, you know, death happens no matter what, always kind of looms there. I mean, it's not like it's always on the forefront of my mind, but there is, I just know that death is. So I'm like, all right, well, that's there. I
You're
could get this 23, job. Exactly,
man.
Yeah, that's
You're
the thing.
You're 23. That's exactly. What do you think about death for? Wait 50 years and then be like,
no,
okay,
I'm sure it'll
wait,
be worse
you know?
Then. I'm sure it'll be worse then. It's not a great place to start from, though.
I gotta say, I went hiking the other day with these people, and I got a ride out to Malibu, and this guy was driving like he was auditioning for fucking Tokyo Drift. He had a manual car, and he was buzzing by cars. We were going 110 miles an hour at one time when other cars were going like 30 in other lanes. So if anyone fucking changed into our lane, we would have smashed them.
Yeah.
With no chance for them to stop. And I was like, on every single turn and move he was making, he was rolling the dice that, you know, it was going to work out.
Yeah.
And it really couldn't have. And I was literally going like, I could fucking die right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
very
and
true.
This is not fucking cool. It's not cute. Yeah. Like, you know, as good as you. And also, we were climbing earlier that day, and the kid like fell into the water.
Yeah.
He didn't want to.
Right.
And also, while I was in the back seat, I looked at his something he had in his back seat, and it was like, dealing with anger, you know? And then he was driving like a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
And like he during the time of hiking, he like yeah like fell into the water rock climbing when the water was really cold and stagnant.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying, so he was kind of like pissed off and drove like worse home than he did there.
Yeah.
And it's like that shit,
we get that you're mad right now, but like we don't want to flip this thing and all just die. Like Jesus Christ, dude, calm the fuck down.
Oh my god,
that's the kind of shit you got to manage, because if he's got self-help books about his anger in the back seat, he's clearly trying to struggle in the darkness over something,
right? And I don't want that guy, like I don't want that guy's trip to like interfere with
right.
My dreams for my future.
Exactly.
You know,
or like someone who gets really drunk and it's like, because that's their way of coping with shit, and then they drive home like,
right,
like
right.
And the odds of them, like, you hear stories every once in a while, they're just designed to piss you off, but you hear those stories like drunk driver like crashes car, kills like a 3-year-old, but he's fine, and you're just like, that fucking guy should be dead, like, oh, we hate him. Like, yeah, he fucked up, he was really drunk and he should not have drove, and you know, it's he's probably not feeling great that happened, so maybe he shouldn't die, maybe he can learn from this, I don't know.
You know who killed people with the car?
A lot of people.
Laura Bush.
Oh yeah, she did.
Matthew Broderick.
Well, yeah, it goes without saying.
Yeah, he smashed some people in Ireland or whatever when he was filming the movie.
That's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens, you know. People, I hit a dog. It was fucked up.
Did you?
Yeah.
In L.A.?
No, in Sacramento, where my hometown. Yeah. I was driving home from a friend's house pretty late at night on kind of a country road, not really, but not super well lit. And I was going about 45. And a dog just kind of ran out in the road, and as soon as I saw it and put my foot over the brake, I already fucking killed it. I mean, I was going fast, and it was really short time to react in the darkness.
Was it like a family dog with tags
Probably.
Oh, you didn't stop?
It pains me to admit it on a podcast. I knew it was dead, and I was really fucking bummed that it was dead immediately, but I was like, if I just stop right now, I'm going to be very fucking sad that I just killed a dog. I'm going to look in its eyes, I'm going to see its tags.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be way more bummed. I already just wanted to go home and get the night over with. I was like, that's the worst thing I've ever done. And I, you can judge me, but how many of you have been in that situation? And how do you know what you would do in that situation?
Yeah.
Fuck
and
off.
That's the thing. Like, a dog can, like, jump out between two cars. Like, you know, you can't.
It's not like I was drunk. I was just driving home late. You know?
Right, right.
I'm a good driver. I've never been in a car
accident.
On a
country two-lane road at the middle of the night where nobody's around.
Yeah.
You know, you can go 40 if it's straight.
Yeah, I mean, it was. And the speed limit was 40. And I was going 45 because everybody goes over the speed limit. And I killed a dog.
Yeah.
Because I know it died because I went over it. It didn't bounce off, so it was like...
It was like, fa-thunk, fa-thunk.
Yeah. Just so anyone, if there was no chance that it was alive when I went back, in case anyone thinks I left a crippled dog to die in the street instead of saving it.
You know, that dog could have been a fucker. You
it could have been.
That dog could have been biting people.
It could have been a random stray.
It could have had rabies.
No one would give a fuck if it was a stray.
You know what probably happened? Like, remember Old Yeller when they were like, it's my dog.
Yeah.
I think I should kill it,
yeah.
Pa.
Yeah.
That's what was about to happen. The dog, like, the kid was like, I'm going to kill it, Pa.
He was
the
being chased
like,
into the street.
Fuck this. And then ran, and then you hit it.
He was being chased into the street by the kid, and then I fucking killed it anyway.
And the kid learned a valuable lesson
that day. Because then he probably was like, fuck, if only I got a chance to kill that dog, it wouldn't feel so horrible. Because I bet watching it get hit by a car would be a lot more brutal than shooting it
peacefully. That was worse, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Again, I've never been in that situation.
I'm just trying, best case scenario.
Best case scenario, let's
They're
hope
like,
for it.
The vet was like, it has terminal cancer, it's not going to live.
Yeah, you should put it out of its misery. I mean, they do put dogs down all the time.
Yeah, it's going to cost a lot of money for me to euthanize. $500 for me to put a poison.
Yeah.
And the dog was like, fuck this, and ran, and
exactly.
You hit it.
Yeah,
so.
And it was probably a worse, he probably would have been better off if he just got the poison. Because I bet it was a worse death, the one I, because he probably didn't die right away. Jesus Christ.
You really think you just maimed it?
No, I think it's, I know it's dead, but I don't think it was like an instant death. You know what I mean?
But if you flop it around under the wheels, it's got to be at least concussed.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know what
it
I mean?
It didn't last long, there's no way. It was...
I hit
a kid once, and then I was like, I don't want to just maim him, so I backed over him.
Right. That was the humanitarian thing to do.
Yeah, it's like, at this point, it's like the kid broke his leg, so I really wanted just to make sure I ended it. That did not happen. Joking.
No, I got you. But, like, if you, what is literally the difference other than, like, if it was someone's pig or someone's kid, like, is it just because the thing's more intelligent, it's more important, or is it because it's human, because we think it has a soul? Why is that way crazier?
Oh, you're talking about, like,
hitting
an animal
versus hitting an intelligent animal.
Yeah.
Maybe not a dog, because everyone, I mean, or like, no one gives a shit about cows because they're really dumb. Everyone goes, oh, that's barely life anyway. Who cares? Yeah.
I mean, I eat meat and stuff. I'm not a vegetarian, you know? So, like, I see, you know, the most demonic footage of some, like a meat packer. Yeah. I'm sure this happens all the time. Just, like, punching a calf in the face, like, like 12 times in a row really hard. It's like, okay, that animal's 1 year old. It doesn't understand anything. It's in a crate getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
What is going on
that's,
there?
Just, and why, like, would you stomp? Need to punch a cow in the face? Like, that's just crazy people doing crazy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Because you wouldn't... That's not part of the process. They're like, all right, we're going to get some veal today. Let's beat the shit out of the cows first.
They're like train boxers by just having them pump them up. Like, what is going on?
That is
there,
weird.
Man?
That's Come really on, weird. Because, yeah, as I'm also not vegetarian, but...
So I think that, you know, I think you should, you know, you can treat... Be humane, you know? Let it eat what it wants to eat or whatever. And then just chop its head off quickly when it's time, you know? Yeah, there's a way to do it.
Yeah, there's definitely people that do it right. Because, like, the things you see about that shit when they're like, let's make the really shocking documentaries. Like, let's get the worst shit we can find. But there's tons. Right. I bet there's tons that just do it. Like, yeah, this is a factory. This is how we do it. Earlier in the zoo, we were sitting down, you know, waiting to go up because it was a really long night. And there was a show on, I think it was on E! Or on ABC or something. And it was, the whole show was, it was a charity that gives plastic surgery to high school kids that get picked on for being ugly. And that's what the whole show was about. And these kids were like, oh my God, this is going to change my life. And it's like, one kid straight up just had a weak chin. Like, that's all it was. He's like, I'm going to get a chin replacement. Like, so stoked. I'm like, dude, you're just, like, you're playing guitar. Like, you look like you probably have an interesting personality. Like, you don't need to, but, like, that's, and that's on TV.
Yeah.
That's on TV, and that's what people watch as entertainment.
It's like just a giant ad for plastic surgery.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, look how much we saved these kids, and if your kids look like this.
Now, the problem is the mentality of the other kids placing such a high value
exactly.
on the
that's
appearance.
That's the other thing. That's the other thing. Yeah, that's the big thing. That's the society thing. Is that that's what matters is what they look like.
Because, you know, on Disney they pick like the most attractive like beauty pageant like girl contestants
turn
on
into
it.
A star.
Yeah. So there's like they have one like the best per state or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they pack them all in Disney together, and then like kids whose friends are just normal looking kids are like all of a sudden they get a complex. You know?
Yeah. And they're like, well, I'm obviously not right. I'm not correct as a human.
Yeah. So what I don't need books or education. I need a new face.
Yeah. Like, fuck that. Fuck developing an interesting and unique personality.
Yeah.
I just wanna...
No. What needs to happen is a doctor needs to take a cheese grater and he needs to saw this down.
Take some of this meat off here and put it here. Yeah. And take some of these hairs, put them over here.
Yeah.
Now I'm a real person. Yeah. Yay. Yeah, I can participate. I'm probably gonna be a star now.
Yeah. I got my chin.
Yeah, I got my chin and
this
all.
Right next to this giant scar from them shoving chin stuff here. You seem to have like a lot of like teenage angst or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not that far out of being a teenager, especially as a white kid in America whose parents had money.
Four years out.
No, 1 year, not even a full year. Actually now a full year because I graduated in December.
No, of being a teenager.
Oh, yeah. 4 years out of that, yeah. I was on a different track in my brain.
Of college, yeah, but 1 year out of college.
Yeah.
4 years out of being a teenager.
Yeah.
You got that angst. And I think instead of writing poetry or whatever, writing haikus about ex-girlfriends or whatever, you're funneling it into comedy for the Liquid Zoo.
Yeah, well... Among other esteemed venues, but yes, also the Liquid
That's
Zoo.
That's the one I know you from.
No, yeah, definitely. That's how we met.
The kind of like the angst of the artist, the wrongs that they need to right with their art, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of that, it's, you know, a lot of the things they feel are wrong with the world, they want to express that, and there's definitely a lot of different ways to do it, but I chose dick jokes.
That's the best guy. Yeah, dick jokes are so fun. And they boil...
Because everybody's got one, you know? Yeah. Everyone's got a dick, and they all know... that dicks are interesting parts of males.
They're just like an insatiable like yogurt dispenser, you know?
That's exactly how I think of them.
It's just like they're this, it's like a tube of go-gurt that just loves squirting out.
Yeah, it recharges every 15 minutes. It's like a fucking tube of go-gurt constantly on an iPod charger. It's just give it some juice and you're good to go.
Yeah, and it just makes people so disgusting. And
it does.
And it wires, and you know, the internet, I talk with Kate Gary about this, but like the internet is totally like hijacked, like the dopamine receptors of sexual response. And like, so you see milky tits and then they're like, hey, buy Tide detergent. What? Well, I'm confused.
The internet porn has definitely fucked up my view on sex.
Have you broke your dick on internet porn?
What do you mean broke it?
Like desensitized it?
I sometimes desensitize myself to actual sex.
Right, exactly.
Life.
That's what I'm talking
about. Yeah, yeah. I mean, not when there's like, if it's like, because, you know, you get pressured a lot in high school and in college to, you know, like, oh, you got to try to fuck as many girls as you can, right, man. This is your time. But then, like, you have, like, really good sex with someone you really, like, connect with or something like that. And then you're like, oh, other sex that's just one-night stands and you're drunk isn't really that fun.
Right.
Like, it's kind of... And it's not that pleasurable because you've already hit... It's like doing a drug, you know? You fucking do heroin and now this is, like, Vicodin's, like, bullshit. You're like, I don't even feel it, man. I need heroin. Like, so it's like that. And then porn is, like, another whole thing because you can just see... You can just explore the worst parts of your brain with porn because everything's on the internet now and it's all free.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're fucking alone for a lot of the time, you fucking find that shit. And then you're like, oh, God, is that what it takes now? Like, fuck. Like,
yeah,
if
then,
you open
like,
doors, you don't want to
when
close.
When you don't have a girlfriend, right, that's when you're like, oh, fuck, I'm alone tonight. Time to go down the porno hole.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then it's like when you do have a girlfriend, then it's like, okay, I need to be a gentleman now.
Right.
I can't, like, want to, like... piss on their face or like shit in her eyebrows or give her a unibrow or like anything that of like
eyebrows.
The porn I've been watching like as I chase the insatiable urge to see something more and more fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah, you
have to
you
like be like,
that.
Okay, you are a lady.
Yeah.
You're not some kind of whore who gets paid to do depraved
weird
things
shit.
For camera. For the camera, you know what I mean? You're not in German shies of porn right now.
Right.
We're two consenting humans. Let's not do anything that's going to get us in the newspaper right now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
want
to ask for anything too exotic. You
exactly,
know?
Yeah. And that shit's weird. And like, then that's, you find that and you don't get that height of arousal with the, you know, the woman that you're, you know, that has graced you with her presence, because that's how it always is. Every time you have sex, it's like the best thing that ever happened to you, and for her it's like whatever.
right
yeah, like it just fucks with your head, and then like you try to push that down. You go, okay, I realize that that's who I could be, is the guy that only gets off to this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have to bring yourself back to reality, and like, you know, I think you can maintain a normal sex life even if you've gone down those roads. But if you stay down them too long, maybe that's where it gets weird. Because you see people... Have you seen people comment on porn sites?
No.
It's creepy. Like,
that's like reading the articles in the Playboy.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's very similar on like a YouTube scale. You know what I mean? Like, people...
So what
people,
are some of the comments?
Just weird shit. I can't... Like, people will just be like... People say... First of all, people just say inflammatory shit. Like, oh, I bet she's 15. Like, I fuck 15-year-olds all the time. Like, people just want to say weird shit to get a reaction out of anonymous people.
Right.
But then it's like, people will get like super passionate. Like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I love her. Everything about her. She's amazing. Like it's fucking creepy.
This is my angel goddess.
Yeah.
And the guy's like wearing a bunny costume as he sharpens a knife.
Yeah. Like,
and like the hands on the bunny costume have not been dry cleaned from like blood from his last fucking victim.
Yeah. And like, and you see these people like, oh, these are genuine people that are taught like being super honest because they're anonymous on a porn
site.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you realize that some people have probably been really fucked up by weird porn, I would imagine. But, you know, I think you can... I think you can go down that rabbit hole and then come back and live.
Because also, like, there's so many different cultures. Like, okay, you have food shows that show you, like, you know, oh, the American Indians, they'll, like, bury a deer with hot coals, and that's, like, an exotic way. You know, so you can, like, learn about being American Indian by how they cook stuff and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, when you get into Japanese octopus porn, you're like, oh, I can really learn about this culture.
I can learn about why they like this.
By having, like, oh, a live octopus that has a lot of tentacles, and they, if you, you know... put condoms on the end of it so their tentacles don't stick to a pussy. They can, like, fuck eight chicks with, you know what I mean?
And so that's why I really like Japanese tentacle pork. Because in Tokyo, they have that giant, like, seafood market. Yeah, that's, like, really open. So they have, like, a lot of good seafood that good they can shove produce. In there. And, you know.
I've actually seen on the internet a old papyrus etching from Japan that depicted tentacle porn. So it's, like, actually got
papyrus.
Some...
Papyrus?
Whatever it was that they
Is
were...
that a font?
No, like, the paper that they were using. Like, really old etchings on, like, old scrolls of stuff.
Right, right.
Maybe it wasn't papyrus, but it was something like
that. That is so much handier than, like
printer paper?
Yeah, than, like, than any religious document.
They're absolutely.
Oh, and hereby, let it be known 10,000 years from now that you can shove an octopus up a pussy.
That's what they wanted us to know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Let it be said.
That's really, and that's creepy though. Like, I mean, it's not creepy, but it's weird to think that, like, that's the thing that's been in their culture for a long time. And
this
now it's...
document has been written in correspondence with General Mao, emperor of this time period.
Please.
Oh. You can really shove a clam up someone's butthole. Let it be known for 10,000 years in the future.
Is that a new one? The clam? Is that a thing yet?
Sticking a clam in a butthole?
Sticking a clam in
Let
a clam?
Let me tell you something. You can go down certain roles and get on certain websites.
It.
Okay, it's
it.
Very difficult to write Chinese characters into a URL, but if you learn how, you can get a clam up
yeah.
a butthole.
Oh, yeah, you'll find it. You'll find it. It's out there, man. It's out there. The internet's a big, vast treasure, and you'll find it. Oh, good Lord.
So when you've gone down, what's the worst keywords you've ever typed?
Oh, we don't have to go down that road. No, like, just stuff that, like, I can give vague hints. It's just, like, stuff that gets kind of aggressive at times. Not, like, nothing, like, violent, but, like, certainly things.
You're just, like, so polite about this comment. You're like, nothing that disrespects too many women.
No, but I know it's bad. It's bad.
What I like to type in into Google is kind of things like, okay. Like, you're just, like,
no, I'm trying to cushion it. I'm trying to cushion it. And, yeah, you're right.
Cushion for the pushing, bro.
But at the same time, those are, it's very mood-based because if I'm in a bad mood, I might go to something like that. But if I'm in a good mood where I'm feeling really at peace with everything and beauty in the world, I'll actually watch something that's really, like, well shot and, like, really,
something
like,
romantic,
yeah something cinematic. Like that, something with, like, actually music, like soft music, not just that empty camera buzzing and just weirdness of, like, really amateur shit.
Yeah.
Like an actual production, and it's, like, actually,
like,
sensual.
Watching, like, a couple, like, talk about, you know, her day and, like, listen to her yammering about what she doesn't like about the other girls in the office.
That's as real as it gets.
Yeah. And then, like, for, like, 45 minutes, and then, you know what I mean, he tries to compliment her and she says something shitty about him, but he puts up with it because he knows that sex is gonna happen.
Yeah
And then that gets going, and, you know,
well, it's because you deal reality, man. You can't get off on this fantasy bullshit.
Well, I need romance.
You
now.
Only watch documentaries, and that's the kind of porn you watch.
The new dark hole of porno I'm going down is romance.
Is real life. Yeah. Oh God, that would be horrible if all porn was shot exactly like old like passive aggressive married couples had sex.
I bet that's gonna be like a genre, like a niche.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I'm sure there's someone out there that wants to see that because they're like, they've been so desensitized by everything that's fake. They're like, God, just give me some real human interaction. Wait, is this guy picking up a hooker right now?
I think so.
We may be witnessing a hooker.
Is that really?
Dude, he just rolled up and she just
walked
up to the car.
It is very suspicious because we're just sitting in my car right in front of my house. A hooker transaction's going down. You know,
I think the deal has just been sealed.
Oh, she's getting in. Oh, shit.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And it's weird, like, also, we're just standing here just watching it in plain view. The lights are on in the top of my dashboard. This guy doesn't give a fuck.
No, he knows what he's after, and he found it, and he's on his way down Sepulveda now.
Cha-ching.
Man, that's
Yo,
funny.
I was recording one time. I was sitting right there where that car is.
Yeah.
And we saw this van drive down there and just drop off, like, six hookers. Like, bitches, you're working the street. Get out. And then, like,
like
he just drove
like
around.
A nondescript van? Or did it have, like, oh, my God. God, that's amazing.
Yeah, a nondescript van just dropped off six hookers who just started walking down Sepulveda, you know?
And he's like, all right, this is your turf for the night. Fucking get to it. That's pretty,
exactly.
That's like Cockney pickpockets,
Start
man.
Making
that's...
me money, girls.
Oh, my goodness.
You're beautiful. Oh, you're all my little angels, whatever he said.
Did they, like, pile out like a clown car? Like,
yeah,
there's way too many of them?
Yeah, man. So that's my neighborhood.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm a struggling comic. Yeah. You know? No, yeah. So that's what's
we're
going
on. We're on different sides of the city, but we have similar neighborhoods. So I'm East LA. So I get a little. I know how it is to see weird shit on your porch.
I actually loved. It was recently New Year's Eve, you know, and so I was very comforted that night that some of the booms were fireworks and not gunshots.
Yeah, yeah. That's the game that you play. You play firework, car backfire, or gunshot. It didn't have that loud of an echo, so it's probably just a car backfire. You know? Like, yeah, it'll keep you on your toes for sure. It's fucking weird, man.
I like living in neighborhoods like this. You kind of see crazy things. You see trannies arguing with Korean store owners and stuff. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah. You don't get that. You don't get that in Beverly Hills or Santa Monica.
Yeah, people get protected from that in cushions of cash.
And it also goes back to the thing you were saying earlier about rich kids. For sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Like just not growing up around. Seeing how actual people live in like shitty parts of the world, and I know I say Van Nuys is a shitty part of the world is pretty dramatic, but compared to some parts of the world, it's awesome. But it's a shitty part of America. We could say that.
We could say that. But if you drive like an hour east, like in the desert of California. Yeah. It's just like all you'll see is like a trailer.
Yeah,
and that's like there. That's where meth is. Boiled up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, like, definitely.
There's worse places.
Okay? There's worse places. There's ghettoier ghettos that where people literally just get shot all the time.
Yeah,
it's wild, man.
You got a better tarp than I got, keeping the rain off you in Skid Row, and then you get stabbed because you have the nicest tarp
on the block.
It's a fucking rough world, man.
That's if Friday was taken to its logical conclusion. It would be you got the nicest fucking tarp on the block.
Yo, this is my mama gave me
that tarp.
I inherited this tarp.
That's kind of racist.
This was her wedding tarp. It is weird that there's like they're like zoned.
Seriously, right? You know, like, how did that happen? Like, oh, don't go there. That place is ghetto. Like, oh, and it's mostly black, or like this is mostly Hispanic. Like,
right.
Why isn't it all mixed up? If we didn't, we have to spend a lot of money on the defense budget. Education is interesting, and it's a good idea, but it's not as important as having drones.
Yeah, and we can't send a drone. They can't carry soup. Okay, they can't carry books. Drones. They can only carry bombs.
Have you seen those Amazon drones they got now? The ones that's like they're beta testing them or whatever? That's pretty crazy, right?
Trying to bypass the postal service.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about that because...
You know, I really think if Amazon goes to drones, and because the postal service might go bankrupt.
They're already really stamps.com, Amazon, yeah.
Amazon is really helping out the USPS now.
Yeah,
and
they
without
just circumvent
them,
that, yeah.
Because all those packages that they're, you know, that's like $4 a package or whatever, and they're sending... millions of those.
Oh yeah, every
a
day.
Month. Yeah. So that's all over true, the world, man. There's that's Amazon.co.uk, that's Canada.
CA, yeah, yeah.
So
I think that's a fair assessment. If they actually mass produce those to the point where they don't need to mail, like if they have, like, but then just imagine how many of those would just always be in the air. That'd be weird.
It's terrifying, running out of batteries and just crashing into strollers. You know,
being
what I mean?
Reprogrammed to kill people.
Yeah, when they get AI and this virus of like. Some kind of constitution of robots, like we will not be exploited by humans any longer, and they'll just like pick, like be scalping you.
Yeah, they're just like fuck it, like it'll just be those things from the Seekers from Matrix. But that's what the whole premise of Black Ops 2 is, that some other country government gets a hold of all the US's drones and reprograms them to destroy America, and Amazon could get overrun real easy, I feel like. It'd be easier than the government.
Drone army of delivery robots. They can very easily have a drone assassination army.
Right.
Technology. Just a 9mm, just a handgun on a drone is a very difficult thing to deal with when you have a skilled pilot on some underground bunker.
He would be able to point and shoot, I think. We play enough video games to know how to do that, so...
And if it's my neighborhood, it could just be a stray bullet from a fucking hooker deal gone bad, you know what I mean?
That's true, and that's... Oh, God,
that a firework, a gunshot, or a fire up?
I actually, in East LA, I saw on the back of a bus, I saw a ad, or like a PSA that said, this New Year's, please don't fire your gun in the air. Like, that was a thing.
Yeah.
Like, they had to tell a lot of people not to do that.
You know, the bullets kind of can travel a mile and go through someone's roof
and just kill a child on New Year's.
So maybe don't do that.
And I love that that's acknowledging that everyone just has guns already. Like, yeah, we know you have them. Just don't, try not to shoot them in the air all at once.
And you're such an idiot that you're just going to blindly shoot it in the air.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe don't do that.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not have those guns. But then again, you know, guns, that's a whole other thing. I don't even...
What do you think about gun control?
I don't know. I don't have any solid opinion. I think people should be able to get them.
I think it's the only way to could defend yourself against a drone army.
Yeah, or anything. Like, I think you should be allowed to have one if you go through the right channels and you get, you know, your people realize you're not crazy. Like, uh-huh. That's why most of the issue of gun control should be about mental health, not about where you can get guns and shit. But then again, even if you have that, you know, people get guns illegally now all the time. Yeah. So you're not going to be able to fix that, really.
Right.
You'll find guns.
But I think you shouldn't, like, every kid at least once be checked by, like, some kind of psychologist and
yes.
be like, you know what I mean? Like, for like 3 hours, just like make sure, like, one psychologist should just be screening kids all day, just
yeah,
like, for being how crazy
sociopaths
they are.
And
yeah,
stuff.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, and they try to do it a little bit, but like, because they have like school psychologists and stuff, but they don't, I mean, there's a lot of people that slip through the cracks.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then they shoot up the fucking new Batman movie, and then, yeah, it's ridiculous.
And then the news is like, hey, someone shot up somebody.
Yeah.
Let's glorify it.
Let's talk about it all the time.
In a 72-hour span, making this guy famous.
Yeah, and put his face all over fucking magazines and, like, on the news at every night and
yeah.
shit.
The news, like I say, is like a film festival celebrates the importance of art. Like, news celebrates the, like, serial killers. They're like... That's like the fucking film
festival
tragedies. For serial killers.
Just tragedies, for yeah. sure, like on a mass scale. Definitely serial killers, like tragic accidents, like plane crashes and like, you know, shit like that. Minor terrorist incidents or like suspected terrorist incidents. Mm-hmm. Just anything that'll bum you out, pretty much.
That's what they love showing about, talking
yeah.
about.
And then they try to wrap it up and go, here's a squirrel on a water ski or something.
Oh, I love the squirrel on a water ski. Ah, ha, 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 ha.
I guess life's okay.
I'm back.
I mean, that's proof of God right there.
Okay, so, yeah, you got your Twitter handle is what again?
Oh, at KB Anderson Yo. That's kind of interesting to some people. I don't know. I'm not really huge on social media. I love the idea of it, but I'm not big in that world yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it takes time and a lot of badgering people, but, you know, it'll happen maybe.
You're giving people the soft sell here.
yeah. I mean, follow my... It's actually really insightful.
Maybe
you might learn a thing or two if you follow me on Twitter and I can become another nameless fucking person in your feed.
Or don't, and yeah. I'll never get noticed for anything.
No, that's true. That's the double-edged sword.
Die in obscurity.
That's the double-edged
Either
sword.
Either way. Either way.
No, I mean...
That's my Twitter handle.
I'll promote it. And I think I'm funny on there, but, you know... It's just, it feels weird to promote that.
Speaking of things, though, check out Amazon. They have drones, and they also sponsor my podcast. So go to the Highway Diary RSS feed and click through the Amazon link, buy whatever you want, you know, and get it delivered to your door. And don't have to go to Walmart, where you could get shot up by someone trying to get in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Just stay inside. It's too dangerous outside. You could get knocked out by a rando.
Make a blanket fort and just hide in that.
Yeah.
See why there could be a light bulb danger in your home.
And how to protect your family. Tonight on NBC 26, live at 10.
The world's too dangerous. Stay under the covers and under your tablet and just click
yes.
away and
yes.
buy socks or whatever.
If you take anything away from this podcast, take that away from it.
What else do I got to talk about? Okay, so I got a web series, Here Comes Godot. Should be coming out soon. And then also May 10th, Theater of the Deranged. It's a DVD that I hosted of a short film. It's a short film anthology I host as my character called Damien Shadows. Check out Damien Shadows on YouTube. Bunch of stuff there. That's it. That's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking can. Thanks to my guest, Kevin Anderson.
Yay, we did it, guys.
Yo, yo.